We have on Mr. Bovard, who wrote this column today, and I want to ask him about his analysis of this investigation. Mr. Bovard, how are you?
Doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Not at all. I was very impressed with your column today because in reading the Durham investigation, my major problem with it is everybody's getting away with this. And why wouldn't it happen again?
Yeah, well, it's amazing that the FBI's tried to sweep it under the rug with a press release saying, well, it was just missteps, and don't worry because we fixed the problem. It's a hell of a misstep when you tamper with the presidential election.
And then you point out that they haven't changed their procedures because they tampered with the 2020 election as well.
Yeah, well, I think you know a lot more about the laptop than I do.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the amazing part. How can he... I don't know how he seriously can put on paper that they don't need to change their procedures when the procedures led to a completely false investigation in 2016 trying to affect that election, then trying to take Trump out of office, and then suppressing the hard drive, which would have changed the result of the 2020 election.
Yeah, it's a strange report in one way because you got John Durham kind of saying, well, you know, they've made reforms, they've done this. But if you look at the actual details of some of the stuff in there, some of the specific facts, they're just kind of shocking. It's like, you know, it was clear that President Obama and Biden were briefed about the Hillary plot to vilify Donald Trump as a Russian tool, and this was. This was in late July, early August, and it's like, and nobody does anything, and all of a sudden everybody goes along with that storyline, even though the FBI found nothing to substantiate it, and as you mentioned, they offered Steele $1 million to document that, and he couldn't do it. What the heck? The FBI uses that Steele dossier anyhow to get the FISA warrants.
Well, you know, I was involved in establishing the FISA court way back in the Ford administration when I was Associate Deputy Attorney General. Uh-huh. And the idea that they deceived the FISA court to the extent that they did, and no one is being prosecuted for that, to me is like an obstruction of justice. How do they expect that they're going to be able to enforce any kind of discipline on that court if people can create a totally false picture for the court?
Yeah, well, this is something that goes back. I mean, I did a series of pieces for USA Today on the FISA court problems, and every year or two, the FISA judges put out a statement saying they're very upset about the number of false and misleading FBI statements in the affidavits that they're receiving, and this is an outrage and it can't go on anymore. And two or three years later, they say the same thing. So, I mean, I don't see a lot of learning curve on those FISA judges.
Yeah, very dangerous. I mean, their power is, I remember as a pretty young lawyer then, I remember almost being nervous when I would do affidavits for them. Like, I felt like I had to be purer than Caesar's wife. If I thought of anything that might suggest that it was wrong, I had to bring it up. And you were trained that way. You were trained that, my God, you're the only, no one's going to check this, just you and God.
Yeah, well, that's a good standard to have since the FISA court only hears from the prosecutors, only hears from the government side, and it was supposed to be designed with checks and balances, but there are no checks and balances, and just to see how this Trump investigation got propelled based on utter, claptrap. It's amazing it went so far, and some of the details in that report about how James Comey is clamoring, where's the FISA? Where's the FISA? They had no evidence for it. It didn't stop them from doing it.
You know, and now just a couple of days ago, they refused to comply with the subpoena from the House, or maybe it's the Senate, for that report that the whistleblower says shows a deal involving Joe Biden getting money in return for change of policy, and they refuse to turn over the document.
Yeah, well, this is I don't know if this is standard procedure. It's certainly not surprising, but it makes a mockery of representative government and checks and balances if you know, Congress is unable to get the smoking gun and make it easy for the FBI to pretend there was no smoking gun since Joe Biden is president and he's our guy. So it's just it's a good week for cynics.
It is. What do you think is the answer, you know, the long term, not the do we need to reestablish the FBI in some other way or?
Yeah, well, it's something needs to be done to place government under the law and under the Constitution. And that's been the profound failure going back decades. I mean, I've written about the FBI going back to the 1990s. There was a piece I did for Wall Street Journal and Ruby Ridge that the FBI chief, Louis Freeh, personally condemned. However, it wasn't my fault the FBI was covering stuff up. And this is what the FBI has done off and on for decades. And Congress simply does not have the will. There was a House Majority Leader in the early 1970s talked about how there was fear of the FBI in Capitol Hill. And that was part of the reason there was no checks and balances on the FBI's power.
That's kind of what Schumer was saying to Trump, or saying indirectly to Trump, when he said, you better not go after the intelligence agencies because they'll get you.
Very much. It was Hal Boggs. I forgot the guy's name. But yeah, and you know, there are some excellent members of Congress with courage and brains. Not a majority.
No, so, for sure.
It's most frustrating to watch some of these oversight hearings, and you see FBI officials getting off after one thing or another. Or, you know, you had that hearing a few months ago where an FBI chief, Christopher Wray, said he had to leave, and it turned out he had to take his jet on vacation with his family.
Yeah, you know, the only way you're going to get to the bottom of this is the people that are under inquiry should all be removed and have no power. Because the members are sitting there thinking, oh, my God, if they go back, I'll be the next one they investigate.
Yeah, I mean, there's a huge amount of power the FBI can use over politicians. I mean, it goes back to Abscam made that very clearly. You know, it's a hell of a thing that the FBI could just go out and target the members of Congress and see if they would take a bribe shortly after the Church Committee exposed so much of the FBI's wrongdoing.
Well, I thank you very much for this column, but also for your great work. You're really remarkable. You're a remarkable American and resource, and I'm really a pleasure to interview you. And thank you for coming on.
Thanks so much for your kind words.
I enjoy your columns immensely.
Thanks.
Thank you.